Are you seeking thrilling tales of adventure and superheroics? Do you crave the weekly drama of teenage hijinks and high school angst? Then don't miss the next issue of These Protean City Comics. This issue featuring...
I'm Penance, and sometimes I can be a real witch.
I'm Sokotoa, master of gadgetry and geometry.
Frequency, bringing the megahertz.
Now, with our heroes assembled, let's turn the page on this issue of Protean City Comics.
This is Volume 5, Three Capes and a Baby, Issue 2, Bunker Down. On the cover, our heroes face off against a dark, unseen threat above. Penance hovers off the ground, eyes to the sky, wreathed in flame. Frequency is creating a hologram of a map, a safe house highlighted in the center. Sokotoa crouches next to a scared girl, preparing to carry her in his arms.
The first panel of this comic is sort of the big picture, like the look, the view over the city, and to remind everyone where we are, and that is that there are these like black, smoky, inky tent like cloud tendrils that have extended over the entire city and blocked out the sun, and it's dark. And up in the sky, hovering over the city, are these three villains, Inspector Insector, Vapor Fist, and Sorcerock. And they are menacing the city. And you guys, and we see another panel of you guys on the ground, and you are standing outside of a Radio Shack or something like that. And you're watching on this, and we can see that on the screen of this TV, there is the breaking news, like villain alert, that goes out, and probably there is a panel of, or we start to see across multiple panels here in the beginning of this comic, we start to get the words describing that there is like an air raid siren going on, like villains attacking Protean City is a thing that happens, like you guys are just familiar with it, and like most of the time it's that sort of like Dr. DeVillis attack or the Pterosaur attack where it's like localized, but every once in a while that you get these big silver, especially the big Silver Age villains who are menacing probably the whole city, and so like you guys know what to do. Like there's there are these air raid sirens that start. And I think I decided every subway station has a shelter built into it. So like there are plenty of places for you guys to get underground and hide. And that's just like it's like a part of life. Like you're familiar with it. It's scary, but it's not surprising.
We need to get underground now.
Absolutely. Let's head for the nearest subway station.
So I'm going to grab her hand and Claire, like, just mom it.
Yeah. For the record, Claire looks terrified.
Yeah,
She went from like in a very quick series of emotions. She went from I'm super excited because we're at this place where like where the pterosaur battle happened, and like there's where Sokotoa fought the pterosaur, and there's where Frequency sat up on a roof, and like oh my god, I'm so excited. And then what happened from her point of view was, so maybe we actually get a couple panels of this. Like you guys are talking, and she like just doesn't care. She's running around this field looking at stuff. She's like, this is like, oh, is that scorch mark? Then maybe it's just like a rivet that's been in the field forever. But she's like, maybe that's where the pterosaur like stepped, and like she thinks it's really cool. And then she like sees the radio hut, and she runs over to it, and she sees the TV. It's got like her on it because she can see the news broadcast, and she's like super excited that like there she is on TV, and like she's the mayor's daughter, so it probably happens more than most people, but it's not a frequent occurrence.
It's cool,
And it's cool, and then. The breaking news comes in, and there's someone menacing the city right now, and she is just terrified. Because it's fun when someone, like the big heroes that you care about, fight a villain or a giant rock dinosaur, and you hear about it in the news. It's a lot less fun when it's you, which you guys know pretty well.
Yeah. So I'm going to go into, like, I'm done trying to talk to this kid at a, like, relation, like, I'm done trying to relate to her at a normal level, and I'm like, we're going. And I just grab her hand, and we all start to move towards the nearest subway entrance. And I'm assuming that our subways function as two things. One is like a shelter, and one is actual transportation. So we're going down, and we're going to try to enter the shelter location under Center City, under Gerald Square.
So right before you guys are able to get into the subway, mm-hmm. just a huge laser beam like drags across the center of the square and just like just totally destroys the entrance to the subway. And like you guys aren't damaged, like you aren't injured, like you can get out of the way. But it's just like in that like it drags across and there's just like the rubble covers over this entranceway. And you can look back up and you can see that more figures are in the sky over Protean City.
More than three?
More than three now.
Oh, God, James.
But not in a bad way, because you can recognize that like at least one or three of those figures is Trip, the Tactical Rapid Integration Protocol robot.
It's Trip.
and also sort of hovering over the city, beginning to do combat, is Centurion and Zenostra and the rest of the old guard. And so like this big kind of like Man of Steel style combat is happening over the city.
So we were straight up instructed in a kind of weird way to not get involved and to protect Claire. So that's what I'm going to advise we do. We still need to get underground. Let them handle it. This is our job.
Mm-hmm.
Kalina wants to help, but there's absolutely no way he will be able to. They're too high. Like, what can he do? So he's like, all right, whatever. We might as well protect this kid.
You're super casual for the fact that you almost just got sliced by a laser beam.
I can fix that. I can bring the battle down to you guys if you want.
I want to get to safety.
Okay. Yeah. Are you going to try to get into this subway thing that was covered up, or are you going to try to go somewhere else?
We can run to another one. They're every couple of blocks.
I think we keep running whichever direction we were facing, and it will be towards whichever direction of the city we decided we were facing.
We're going to head towards the block. The next closest entrance is in the block, which is like the fancy city center. It'd be like what Wall Street or downtown looks like.
Yeah, because you're still pretty close to where the city hall was and Gerald Square.
We are, and those two sections of the city are right next to each other. Mm-hmm. So we're just going to try to get into like the business district entrance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for the record, Sokotoa saw that like laser rip over the field and was like, "Oh, that's cool." Like he wasn't like as like he's thankful he's not hurt, but at the same time he's like, "That's pretty metal."
You should be more scared.
You should be more scared.
I'm going to say let's run to the next one. We're going to keep going. Don't look up. Just run with us. Run.
Let's go. I'm running. Yeah, I'm running.
We're
with
running.
You. Yeah.
Okay,
we're out of there.
We're running toward the block.
Okay. And you are joined by lots of other people because citizens of Protean City are not stupid. They're used to this. They figured it out.
While we're running, can I charge my burn? Cause I feel like I might need it.
Sure.
I got 8, which means that I mark a condition, but I still get 3. I'm going to mark guilty because I'm feeling pretty bad right now.
And you have 3 burn?
Yes. So we're running. I'm like pretty much dragging this kid and I'm worried she's going to get caught up in the shuffle. So at some point I'm going to pick her up like piggyback style and carry her.
Okay. So as you were running, you start to see that the world has like the light is starting to go out even more. Like it's starting to get darker over this place where you are. And if you look up behind you, you can see that Sorcerock is kind of like hovering down a little bit closer. And they are kind of just like all tentacles and inky black smoke pouring out of them. And they are going to generate these like huge, like just like all of the inky black smoke that is pouring out of them coalesces into like 5 or 6 like thicker tentacles of the like the toxic, like you recognize it as a sage, you recognize it as magic. Mm-hmm. But it's dark, it's not anything mm-hmm. that looks like the kind of magic that you do. And these like big these tentacles, like they slam into the ground amidst the crowd in front of you, and just start to like tear through the crowd of people. And as people like are touched by it, they are thrown to the side and they maybe start to like, they like their veins turn black and like these people are being hurt by this.
Oh my God.
Are you going to do anything to try to help these people or are you going to just keep running?
I don't think I can. I'm focused on the task at hand. That doesn't mean you guys can't. It's totally up to you.
I mean, I'm in the same. Our job is to protect this girl, and we need to get her to safety.
So the color from Sokotoa's face is gone. This is no longer cool. Like, this got real, really fast. And Sokotoa's like cycling through his head, like, what could he possibly do? And he doesn't know if he throws something, if it'll go through them, if it'll hit it. Mm-hmm. So he's like, doesn't want to like waste ammunition. So I think we're still fleeing at this point.
Okay.
I mean, anything I could do, I would have to stay here for.
Yeah.
Unless you take her and I stay. But right now, I'm committed to. She's on my back. I feel very connected to this job.
Yeah. And she's holding on pretty tight.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't want to fall.
And that feels good. This is the first time that this person has treated me like a hero at all. Even if she's terrified, it feels a little good.
Yeah. And you feel a little guilty about that. Like, didn't you just mark guilty?
Yeah, I did.
So, like, that works.
Like, maybe I wasn't doing it right before, but I want to do it right.
So these big black tentacles are tearing through the crowd, and people are doing an okay job of dodging. These tentacles are not moving super fast, but, like, the occasional person does get hit and goes down. But, like, but you have a task, and you are staying on that task, and you're continuing to drive forward. And where are you? Look, what are you looking for? Are you looking for just any building, or are you looking for another subway entrance to try to get to a thing?
I think the next subway entrance.
Okay. I mean, if worse came to worse and we found a building that we recognized or knew was a safe place, but a lot of these buildings are like glass and fancy metal and like may not actually be super safe in this situation. So if we can get to the subway, that's our best option.
Okay. Yeah. And so we have a couple frames of like that zoom out and we see the crowd running and the city just sort of like the buildings around this, like this road that you're running down, being sort of starting to be attacked and torn apart by this dark magic. But people are generally getting to the safe place. They're getting underground. There's a moment where you get to the entranceway to the subway and people are starting to funnel down into it. So you kind of have to like, you're on this, like you go from a pretty like breakneck sprint toward this place to like, you've slowed down moving now. As people start to like organize their way down into this shelter, and you hear like there's like thunder and lightning going on, and you can hear the battle going on above you. You hear like the sound of not an actual missile, but like the whistling of something falling out of the sky, and there's a huge crash. And everyone kind of like panics and moves out of the way. But you can see that what has just landed like adjacent down the road to you, a little bit down past the way that you came, is Centurion has just like fallen out of the sky. But they get back up, and they heft their shield up. And there's a moment where like there's another huge laser blast that just comes out toward the crowd. And Centurion stands back up, and they like hold their shield up, and they block this laser. And it just like there's a moment of just like will Centurion be able to stand up to this blast? But they do get their feet underneath them well enough, and they yell to the and Centurion turns to the crowd and yells, "Get underground, get safe. The old guard will handle this." And like he probably even sees you. And he starts moving like after the laser just like lets up, he moves towards the tentacles and he uses his shield to like slice through the dark tentacle, which severs the magic, and the tentacle starts to like recede. And so the people that were behind you, like they are dealing with that a little bit. And
I'm going to turn to Frequency and say, call Lunar Lens, tell her where we are.
Okay,
cool.
And we're going to run down.
Yeah. And so like in that moment where Centurion is behind you, like protecting the back of this crowd, like you guys are able to get down into this shelter.
Mm-hmm.
So tell me what do you imagine a shelter in Protean City looks like? It's something that's got to be big enough to have like a whole bunch of people in it. It's got to be safe. It probably has a big vault door.
Yeah.
That can close and lock and stuff.
So the way I was picturing it is if you run down into the subway and there's like a regular subway platform and the train tracks and everything. But on the platform, so where you could go through the turnstile to get to the platform, on the far wall of where the staircase like lets out is a big vault door, and that door has been opened. Somebody has already opened it, and people are just funneling in there. And it's basically like an underground bunker system. It kind of like, I picture it like an ant thing. There's tunnels and big rooms, and there's like, you know, a hall, and then there's a bunch of small rooms. Like, they've really prepared for us to have to be down there a while if we needed to be, because I'm sure that's happened before.
Yeah. But once or twice.
Everybody's clogging the halls. Everybody's panicking. Everybody's trying to get around the couple of TVs that are down there to see what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Would you guys, rush in and try to find a nice place to hide, or would you stay by the door to make sure that everyone else funnels in?
I'm going to find a place to hide the kid first.
Okay.
Yeah. First priority is finding a safe spot.
Okay.
I'm not as attached to this kid because it wasn't my job to do that. So I think that Sokotoa is more along the lines of like community helper guy. Mm-hmm. He probably would stand by the door and help people in.
Cool. So you guys get into this shelter. And like there's a bunch of other people with you. At some point it hits capacity. This is the city of the future. Like it knows. There's a computer sensor. There's probably someone there manning it at this point. I imagine that a lot of the staff that would be running the subway system. Mm-hmm. Becomes like shelter staff. So there's someone probably at the door with a clicker counting. And when the shelter hits capacity, they probably there's a moment where there's still a couple people and they look down at the counter and they let the other couple people in. And once like the large crowds of people have shuttled in, the person who was throws a big switch and this big safe door closes. You guys are all fine being inside. Like, you don't want to go back out, right?
I might staying with this kid later, but not yet.
Yeah,
I'm staying inside. Don't know about this honcho over here.
If the door is closed in front, there's how am I going to get out?
I mean, are you?
I have to like.
I wasn't sure if you were standing outside it, of the door. Like, go ahead and let it shut.
I was, but
okay.
I don't think Sokotoa wants to die today.
Okay, so you are getting back
he's
in.
Gonna get
okay,
it. Okay, that's fine, and like that's normal. And so this big door like it closes and locks. So you guys are safe. Like if there is a safe place in this city, it is one of these security vaults. Like not security vaults, but like safe havens, safe rooms.
So I'm gonna assume that. Ben and I probably have seen this before because we've done some stupid things. We maybe, you know, went exploring once or twice. And I'm going to like charge through the hysterical crowds and try to act like I know exactly what I'm doing and make my way to the like one of the rooms. Like there's private rooms and nobody's in them yet because everybody's freaking out. So I'm going to go into a private room with her still on my back and try to lead the guys in there too and get us in a private room and shut the door so we can make a plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. For the record, I imagine that like everyone as a kid in Protean City, like as part of your like middle school.
Oh
thing,
yeah, that's true.
Like
too.
Everyone does a field trip down to one of these shelters at some point, just so that all the kids know. The adults are probably a little bit panicky because it's been probably a couple years they thought about it. I imagine Lunar Lens makes sure that you guys do this trip like every year to make sure that you know.
She's legit.
Yeah. And every single one of these bunkers is the exact same layout.
Exactly.
Yes. Every single subway station across the city.
This was a well thought out thing. After the Protean City did a lot to make itself safe in the new era of heroes. And building these shelters was a good thing that they did.
Like normal schools do like fire drills.
Yeah.
And we do bunker drills.
Bunker drills. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I take her off my back and like put her on the bed and be like, are you okay?
Yeah. That was terrifying. Once when I was very little, Halcyon City was attacked. But I don't really remember it. That was terrifying.
Have you ever seen any of these villains before? Do you recognize
TV?
Any of them? Yeah. Okay. Do you have any idea who might be after us, or if they're
I don't know if they were after us.
Okay, they great. Were. They probably weren't. It's, you know, it's this are stuff happens.
Are they after us?
No,
like,
no.
I thought they were just here to put the
no,
city.
No, don't panic. Sokotoa's here.
And she starts to panic a little bit.
So Sokotoa takes out a couple of like just regular, or like the one like Newton's third, the one that's just bounce.
Oh yeah, Newton's right? third.
But instead of throwing them at a wall, he just starts juggling, and he does like kind of that like cartoony like na 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 na, you know, like okay. kind of thing.
Why don't you roll to comfort or support someone?
I roll.
Yeah.
Okay. What is that?
Plus that. Mundane.
Plus mundane.
Oh, fantastic. That is a 10.
Okay.
Nicely done.
On a 10, they hear you. They mark potential. On a 10 plus, you can also add a team to the pool or clear a condition yourself.
I don't have any conditions, so okay. add a team to the pool, please. Cool.
We are at 2 team.
Nice.
Right. All right.
So you've calmed her down a little bit, but she's still panicking. Like she's not panicking. She's still concerned. She's still clearly terrified. She's a 12-year-old girl in a city that was just attacked by a giant tentacle sorcerer. And like there were lasers and shit. And then you guys ran with a huge crowd of people into a basement room and a big door closed.
Can I try to like give her something to also, it's not exactly comfort and support because she already is, but like I can say like, hey, you know what will help? I have this amulet and you know what it does? It protects you from all bad magic.
Okay. So that's a thing?
Yeah, it's absolutely a thing. And I always keep it with me, but I feel like you should have it today and it'll make you feel safer.
Okay.
So I like give her this amulet with a big crystal on it and like I take it off my neck and put it on her neck.
Okay. Yeah. And she puts it on. She like holds it tightly and is able to like kind of breathe a little bit, okay. calm down. And then all the lights turn out.
So I have a spell for that. So I'm going to start muttering my incantation to put the lights on. But I'm not of a lot of use when that's happening. I can't do much else, so I can kind of talk. But I have to stay focused on it.
Are you turning the lights on, or do you just like...
No, it's like it makes it like infrared vision for us. Like okay. everybody in our bubble can see.
Okay.
Okay. I mean, it's just so you see
yeah.
the room as
yeah.
it was.
So but. Everybody can see the room, and my eyes are like glowy. Okay, so we need a plan.
I mean, I'm not sure. Lunar Lens told us that if anything happened, we were supposed to protect the girl, but we're here now. Do we just wait?
And as you say, like, should we just wait? You start to hear thumping on the front door.
Of the little room we're
of
in?
Of the big door.
The bunker.
Yeah, of the yeah. bunker. And it's like, it's aggressive thumping, so you can hear it all the way in this room. And you start to hear shuffling and muttering and concerned people in the main rooms.
Guys, I need to go put up a shield.
I was gonna run out there too to like try to keep the door closed, but like I'll stay here with her. I'll whatever
if you
however I can be most helpful. I was gonna try to use some Newton's first to keep the door closed, and then maybe you can seal it.
Yeah,
feel free. You two run up. I'll stay here with Claire.
Okay.
and make sure she's okay.
Okay, Claire, you're going to stay with Frequency, and he's going to take really good care of you. I don't want you to worry. Everything's going to be fine.
Okay.
It's just going to get a little dark.
Okay. It's already pretty dark.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay, you got this.
Okay. Kalino didn't say anything to her because he's a little terrified and is not okay. able to comfort anymore.
Mm. And there is just a boom, and you can hear the front door of this vault. It just like blows in. It's like a big explosion.
Okay. So the light that I was giving off is definitely gone. And so I'm going to like blink and it's dark. And I'm going to grab Sokotoa's arm and pull him out the door. And to Frequency, I'm going to be like, stay on your comm. I'll call you.
And there's a ton of screaming going on now. And as you and exit this room, you get out into this main area, and there are just a bunch of very panicked people because these are supposed to be safe faults. Like, what is going on here? This isn't supposed to happen. And amongst the crowd and like sort of like rushing in, there are maybe a dozen or two dozen just armed men in what looks like SWAT armor with just like regular like assault rifles.
Regular assault.
Yeah, they're not, okay. They don't, these guys don't look like, they're not super villains. They're just like, they look like they look like they could be police or like a SWAT team, but they are not marked that way. And they are clearly terrorizing the people in this, in this cell, or in this, not cell, sorry. You guys are in a safe or a vault.
So did they knock the door in or something larger?
No, they like, there's smoke going on. You can see they had some like, some, there's some residue that looks like there was maybe they set off an explosive that blew the hinges off this door.
Can they see us?
There are a
or is that assessing the situation?
Yeah, why don't you roll to assess the situation? Yeah. Roll to superior.
Oh, I got a 4.
They have like the like laser pointers mounted on their guns, but they don't seem to be producing any other light. So you don't really like. It's hard for you to tell, like, they probably can see you, but you can't tell, like, what's causing that or like, what their plan is here.
So, I'm going to spend one burn to put up a moat.
Okay.
In front of them, like, between them and everybody else in the bunker.
They are kind of, like, mixed in with the group now because they, like, poured in. Like, there's a bunch of them.
And they poured in?
Yeah. And so, like, in the moments before you're able to step outside, they, like there's a bunch of them by the front door, but there's also a bunch that, like, made it in. So there's a big room full of like, just civilians. Like, they hadn't quite filtered out into these side rooms yet. There's, like, lots of people. And these, and there are these like, dark-suited SWAT team types who are coming through the crowd. And they are not, like, there's a few of them who are, like, yelling at people by the door to stay quiet and, like, not interfere. But there's also a lot of other guys who are moving through the crowd. So if you block off, like, if you can put up a magical wall barrier between you and the closest guy, you'll do that, but you'll put a lot of civilians on the other side of the wall.
Okay, I misunderstood the position that they were in.
The bad guy.
So instead, I'm going to levitate a little bit. And I'm going to use a spell that magnifies my voice.
Okay.
Who sent you? Why are you here?
And so there's a moment where a whole bunch of the like the red dot lasers all like target you.
Obvi.
a couple of the guys who are close keep moving towards you. And finally, like there's one guy from the back who's closer to the door. Turns on like a radio and you can hear that his voice is coming over a little bit amplified as well. And he yells out, nobody has to get hurt. Give us the mayor's daughter.
Who's the mayor's daughter?
We don't have any time for your sass, girl. Give us Claire Whitman. And we know she's down here and no one else has to get hurt. None of these people have to get hurt. You don't have to get hurt. Give us the girl, and we will leave.
Can I roll to assess the situation?
Sure.
I got a 9.
Okay, so you get to ask one of the following questions.
How can we best end this quickly?
You could give them the girl.
I knew that was going to be the answer.
Shit. Can I ask a different question? Because that was obvious.
Yeah. I'll let you ask another question. Such a jerk. Because that was kind of a jerk answer.
Yeah.
3 of those questions all involved
what here
the girl.
Can I use to get them to leave without the girl?
I'm going to sort of answer a slightly different question, I think. So what is here that you could use to make them leave without the girl is... I'm going to say, straight up, my answer is the crowd of people. They are expecting that you are heroes who are here to protect the people in this shelter. So if you show them that you are willing to put the people of this shelter at risk to save the girl's life, then that will foil a lot of their plans because they're expecting that you are trying to protect everyone here.
I mean, I am. That was super unhelpful. Leave now before something goes wrong. you can leave and everyone can be safe, including you. Meanwhile, I'm like, after I turn off my loud voice, I'm like, Frequency, can you tap into their radios? We need help. There's a bunch of men here.
There's still lots of space. Like, this is a big hallway. There's okay. Yeah. I have something ready to go for if and when they get closer. But,
okay.
Great.
I mean, some of them are pretty close, but not all of them. They got through this crowd pretty fast.
Yeah.
Because okay. They were coming for you.
Okay. So I'm not sure what kind of, I'm sure it'll be some kind of role. I'm trying to tap out and, as in tap out, as in reach out and tap in to see what kind of system they have set up, see if I can at least get numbers or positions or something to give them a better idea of what the situation is looking
okay.
like.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty easy for you. They do have like a local communication radio system set up so they can talk to each other.
Okay.
Because they're wearing like almost full face masks.
Okay.
A couple of them, and most of, I will say all of them have like some kind of a glowing green eyes. Like you can tell they have night vision.
Okay.
They were prepared for there to be no lights here.
We can see that?
We yeah.
can see their where their eyes would be.
Yeah. I mean, this is a comic book. They have some visual like... Some there is a visual indicator of the fact that they have like glowing green night vision goggles.
Okay,
and you can tell. So basically, there are about two dozen guys. They are all down here. There's maybe one or two who are sort of that you can tell that their radios are a little further away. You can see like I imagine you see this as like you can see little lines connecting them to each other, and a couple of the lines go up to some radio dots that are up at the surface. So they've left maybe one or two people up there probably as lookouts to see if anyone is going to interfere with this. But most of these people are down here, and there's about two dozen of them.
Who is doing what right now? Because I can both of you can help me immensely. I just want to know who's.
I'm putting up a brave front and trying to look intimidating.
If they stay focused on you, I can blind a lot of these people. And that, like, because I'll use Newton's first, which is normally keeps people in place. But if it's like a white goo. So if it's in front of their visors, they're going to be useless.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem is, though, if they can see me, they will probably shoot at me.
Well,
so if they keep focus on you, I can take out a good number of them, and they either have to take off their helmet, which, you know, then they're as blind as us, or they're kind of useless.
Okay. I'm going to put up a small shield and keep making them mad. Keep talking.
So is this the kind of thing where you're going to try to use one of the orbs to like throw out a bunch of goo at everybody? Or
if they're in separate spots, I'm going to have to throw many of them.
Okay.
I might run out.
Because they're also like they're scattered amongst the crowd too.
Right. So I'm going to have to be like moving very stealthy. I might actually be crawling like underneath people while she's.
Yeah, there's enough of a crowd that you probably don't need to crawl, but you probably do have to crouch to get behind some people.
Okay.
I can try and disrupt their night vision if that helps you in any way, shape, or form. I can do that right now.
Could you mess with their communication so if he's blinding them, they can't tell anybody?
So I could try and disrupt their communicators. I'm going to try and disrupt it in a way so that the microphones aren't picking anything up.
Yeah.
So that would keep them from being able to at least communicate to the top. I'm not going to do like a ear piercing squelch or anything, but I'm just trying to with.
Yeah. So that way you don't alert the people at the top. Okay. Yeah. Awesome. I mean, that's the kind of thing that like that frequency we'd be able to do pretty easily, right?
He'd be able to do it easily. I'm not sure. You said there's like two dozen of these guys. That's what I'm concerned about. It's a pretty big number.
Okay.
So I don't want to.
Why don't you roll to unleash your powers then?
Ooh, that's just a 5. I should have said it was very easy.
Okay. Oh, sorry. Actually, what am I doing? So I was going to say you have two
We're
teams.
We're entering
so
battle.
We are also entering battle. So why don't we do team really quick? When you enter battle against a dangerous foe as a team, add 2 to the pool. So you're up to
add
4.
To 4.
Who is the leader of this team? My guess would be it's probably Penance right now.
Yeah.
Considering if she's
at least
there.
I'm the point person.
Yeah.
You have the appearance of being the leader.
Yeah.
Let's
actually the leader?
The villains think you're the leader.
I'll take it only because I can see everything that's going on and delegate.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
That's fine. That's the only reason.
That's what I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't want to say yes, it's me, but.
Do you have influence over every other teammate?
I do.
Okay. If everyone has the same purpose in the fight, add another team. What are your purposes in this fight?
Protect everyone in the bunker from the invaders.
That's close to it. I was going to say, like, prevent them from doing anything, but that's effectively the same thing.
Frequency?
Uh-oh. Everyone includes the girl.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So we're trying to prevent anything bad from happening to the people.
Yeah.
Is that what
yes.
you're
saying?
Okay.
And yep. I should have stated.
If your purpose was to protect the girl at all costs.
It's not. Okay. I'm not. I was going to say, my first priority is to protect this girl, but I'm not yet planning on throwing civilians under the bus to protect this girl.
Okay.
I agree.
Cool.
That may change depending on how things proceed.
Okay.
But right now it is protect everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like I said, like this would be very easy for you guys to end this fight really quickly if you were not concerned with all of the civilians.
Or the girl. Or the other.
Well, the girl is in a room. She's pretty safe. But like you could fill this hall with fire.
But if we gave her to them. Oh yeah, I could
and
do that.
Just like kill everyone.
Yeah, I could
and
do that.
And that would really quickly end it, but also you would kill a whole lot of civilians.
Yeah.
So
I'm not gonna do that.
Not do that. Okay, so you do have the same purpose.
Kill.
Six.
And are you ill prepared or off balance?
We're as prepared as we can be.
I don't know. I think off balance is probably a pretty apt description. It's dark. You've been on the run for a while.
Yeah. So is that a minus?
So that removes one.
Okay. So we're still at five.
Let's not forget we're here to protect a girl and not lose her, and that was our only objective, and we screwed that up almost immediately.
Yeah, you're right.
So you do have. So wait, we still need to. I rolled a five. And so you rolled a five. So how can you guys? So you have five team. Can you guys? You can get that up to a seven to succeed with two people assisting you.
So I can help you by further distracting them so that nobody's on the comm while I'm talking because they're listening to me. So maybe that lack of interference can help.
I don't know how I can amplify his ability. Like, he's not even in the same main room. I'm not sure what I can do to help.
If you move immediately to do whatever you're going to do next, then you guys are doing this big action as a team, and you can give him the plus one.
While we are prepping this, I am going to be crouch/crawling behind the nearest soldier, person, whatever. I'm going to, and this is when it's going to be like, we're going to have to wait for somebody to start talking, and then he cuts it out. So they'll be distracted, like make it noticeable that something didn't work.
Okay.
So that the soldier near me has to like, you know, put his hand to his helmet or something like that.
Okay.
Then what I'll do is I'll take one of Newton's first. And instead of putting it on his helmet, I'm going to put it on his chest. So that really similar to the pterosaur thing, when it pops, his arms are immobilized, but his head is not. I'm going to take the helmet and wear it so that I have night vision.
Okay. Okay. Because it is still dark.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I can see.
The only reason why I can do this at all is because I can see their eyes. But. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay. Cool. So you unleashed your powers, and you got it up. We got that up to a seven.
We got it up
so
to a seven.
Mark a condition, or the GM will tell you how to the effect is unstable or temporary. So you can mark a condition, or it can be unstable and temporary.
I'll mark a condition.
Okay. Cool. What are you gonna mark? Maybe afraid.
Yeah. I was thinking of hopeless. I don't know how would that sounds. Because I don't know if I'm actually hopeless, but...
No, you could be, like, really afraid that this is not going to end well.
Yeah, I think I'd be more afraid. Yep.
So you are able to, like, find all of the strings of vocal communication between them and just, like, tug on those strings and or, like, you tell me what it looks like when you do this visually, like, in the comics.
So it's probably some kind of signal that, like, shorts... Okay. Something, either physically or something in the programming.
Mm-hmm.
So all I'm doing is getting it to one of them, and their communication system is sort of
it's like propagating it out.
It's propagating itself through it. So it's just sort of like one, you know, spark. So visually you see like something like cut out and then three more and then all of them.
Okay.
So it just spreads throughout that whole group.
Okay, cool. I see that.
If we time this right, the second that he's distracted, I'm not throwing this because I'm coming from behind him and it's important that I hit him in the chest. Kalino's not super tall, so I don't know what sort of gear this guy has, but I imagine Kalino struggling to get his arm around this guy without touching him first.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes around and the orb has, like when it's thrown or placed, it has like a almost like a Velcro-y kind of thing, so it stays on somebody. I reach out under his arm and I place it on his chest.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a... there's probably about a second of time before it actually pops.
Yeah.
So I place it and then I get low to the ground so that I don't get caught in it.
Yeah.
And when it pops, it immobilizes his arms. So okay. like he still, if he had his hand on the trigger, he still does, but he can't pull it.
Yeah. 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 So it, and so I imagine there's this big like puff of like that, like the spray on foam stuff. Is that kind of what it is like?
Yeah.
And so it pops out and like, and consumes his torso and he kind of can't move. He can kind of wiggle a little bit, but, and he can't move his gun or pull the trigger.
And I immediately pop back up and I take his helmet off.
Okay.
And then I'm probably again back to the ground. I picked up a helmet.
Yep.
With night vision.
Yep.
So now the first time I use this gear to directly engage a threat, unleash my powers, or defend someone, I can roll plus mundane.
Okay.
But that's only for the next guy.
Okay.
Unless I steal his helmet too, I guess.
Just keep going down the line.
That probably is not going to work.
So you now have night vision, so you can see. Penance probably has... can you see in the dark? Are you glowing? What's going on here?
I can make it so I can see in the dark, but I can't, like, without a spell, I can't assist anyone else. Yeah.
You can probably see those people pretty... like, you might not be able to see the other civilians, but if you can identify where their headsets are...
I can sense them.
You can locate them pretty quickly. Yeah.
Yes.
So what are you guys going to do next?
What I'm going to do is try to keep their focus on me. So what I think I'm going to do is start burning some fireballs because I have a personal like shield going on. So I'm going to just start holding fireballs to make myself look like a very immediate threat. I'm not doing anything with them. I'm just looking real menacing.
Okay.
And I'm like, you don't want to mess with me.
Okay. They agree that you are the immediate threat. They disagree that they don't want to mess with you. and so a few of these guys who have their guns pointed at you, realizing that something is starting to happen to their, that they have lost communication, are going to start opening fire on you.
Well, they're going to hit the shield and they have regular guns. So
that's true. Yeah.
It's probably not going to do anything.
No, I mean, it probably isn't.
Yeah. And I'm just going to stay behind that shield and try to hold on to as much confidence as I can and say, I told you, you don't want to mess with me. And I'm going to throw one fireball at one guy that's trying to mess with me, just at his feet to try to panic him. I'm not trying to kill him or anything. I just want him to be panicked.
Okay. And is it going to, does that fire splash or does it just like?
No, it's like.
How big of a ball?
It's like a ball of fire like the size of my hand and I throw it to the ground at his feet. So maybe his shoe, you know, is in the fire or whatever, but it kind of pools and singes in a hole there and gets on whatever article of clothing is close to it.
Yeah, he is definitely going to be lit on fire. Like you hit his foot and like his pants are just like they're cloth. They're going to catch on fire. He's going to immediately like fall backwards against this wall. He's going to take his gun off of you. Like he's going to stop shooting at you. And he's going to like just try to like put all of his effort into not being on fire anymore.
And I'm going to hope that works out for him.
Yeah. So that's definitely like that is an effective way of taking these people out. You can light them all on fire and they will suddenly become...
I don't intend to kill anyone.
No, no, he is not. You haven't killed him.
Great.
But he is, and he is going to like be able to put this fire out, but he is on fire right
that's
now.
That's fine.
Okay.
Great. I told you, don't start with me.
Can I communicate with Frequency and ask where do you, can you figure out where the guy with like the megaphone kind of thing was? Because if I can take out that guy, it'll probably, like, I assume he's the leader.
Yeah, probably. Should be able to see. He's,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So it's like,
insert close to detail the, for dramatic effect here, but.
Is he closer to the door? Is he like,
yeah, closer he's closer to the door.
Closer to the door. He's probably behind all of the others because he sent them in first. So like, if you imagine they walked in as a wave,
yeah,
he probably stood there so he could oversee everything going on.
So I can see where that guy is mm-hmm. very, very clearly. So what I'm going to do so that I don't hit anybody else is I'm going to throw Newton's third at the ceiling and bounce it down.
Okay.
So it hits him like right on the crown of the head, maybe knocking him down or knocking him out. I can only do this by you telling me where that is. I don't know if that's a move. I don't know how that.
You don't think you can see him?
I can see him, but I don't necessarily know that he's.
Yeah, these
the leader.
Guys all kind of look a little the same.
Oh, okay.
This definitely is directly engaging a threat.
Yes, you are going to roll directly engage a threat. I think it's fine. I think you were able to convey to him.
Yeah.
Like this head's like once he's wearing this mask, like it may even have a little bit of like a HUD built into it that you could like pop up and identify who like this target is. Yeah. I think
I also feel the guy's probably standing there holding a megaphone.
Yeah. Well, no, he was wearing like there was a microphone on his like a speaker on his suit.
Gotcha.
So he looks a little bit different. But like you guys are also working as a team right now. Like this is like you guys are in your jam. And the one guy is literally in jam. But whatever.
Strawberry.
But
and so yeah, you're able to point him out. So why don't you make a directly engage a threat roll to hit this guy?
And because I'm using the helmet, I'm rolling plus mundane instead of plus
cool.
Whatever Excellent. It is, danger or something.
Oh,
that is
nice.
A
six.
13. That is a 13.
Cool. So on a 10 plus, pick two, resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, impress, surprise, or fight in the opposition.
So definitely the last two.
Okay,
I'm not anywhere close to him. He's not going to hit me back. And I can't take anything because he's too far away.
Okay. So yeah, this guy was not expecting, like he realized that there was someone else in the crowd probably because, or they were starting to think that maybe there was more than one person because like they lost all their communications, but they were not expecting to be hit in the face with a ball.
Right.
certainly not coming at them from the ceiling. And again, they are all focusing on Penance, who is floating and hurling fireballs at people.
Hey.
So you have definitely surprised and frightened him. And also probably knocked him out at this point.
Yay.
So what is an opportunity that you would like to create for your allies? Or does anyone have an action they want to take? I will tell you that absent this leader character and starting to like really surprise, like having lit people on fire and taking out a couple of these guys, you were pretty close to just like scaring them off. Like this was not quite what they were hired for. Or down for.
Hired for?
You don't know that. I didn't mean that.
there's definitely things that I/we can do to get this girl out of the vault and either like sneak out and lock these guys in with the civilians, or we can cause a mass panic and just get everyone to rush out.
Okay, let me clarify. So he's created an opportunity, and that opportunity is that if you can hit them again, like in one more terrifying, scary way, like you can scare them off. Like you can rattle them.
Oh,
like,
okay.
They've been like, they've seen people start to throw fire at them. They were expecting to deal with some kids, and you guys have acted as a unified team in a way. And they still haven't identified where two of these people are.
Yes.
Or they don't know how
so
many people there
us.
Are.
Yeah.
And so,
I mean, I can scare them.
So do something big and flashy, and that will push them away.
Okay. Well, I do have, because I always forget as a player, that another one of Ben's abilities is illusions, which are all holograms and things like that. So I can probably try and cast some kind of giant illusion to try and trick them into thinking that there are more than just
can you multiply me?
I can probably create multiple copies
of,
like I did against Dr. DeVillis. I created a copy of Centurion.
Yeah.
I can try and create multiple copies of Penance. So
yeah.
Still not giving away that there's other people, just
yeah,
there's multiple.
There's more of me.
Excellent.
I'm assuming
Hell yes.
you would say that that is an unleash your powers role.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. Unleash your powers.
I would say I'm trying to trick them yes. into thinking that.
I think
so
you
instead,
are.
I have a move called Are You Watching Closely?
Okay.
Which lets me roll plus superior.
Okay, do that.
So a plus three instead of a zero.
Oh. Oh.
Goodness gracious. I rolled a three.
Plus three, six. So it's six. So
and you have some team left.
So I'm
yeah, we can help.
Six.
Here, I can use one of my burn, which I haven't used any of yet, and boost your thing.
Okay.
So right off the bat.
So without using a team, that's just for me.
Oh, okay.
And then using a team, I'll make myself a really big, shiny target, like maybe make it easier to replicate, and I'll just like wrap myself in psychic energy, so I'm a big, bright, purple, glowy right. ball.
Okay.
So that was at six, or you rolled a six.
I rolled
plus
I,
the burn is yeah. seven,
mm-hmm.
and then eight, and you could get him up to nine. So that would be pretty hard to get him up to 10.
Yeah.
I don't maybe we don't need to.
I don't
so
think
I
you need
the,
to. I don't need to. If okay. there was a way that you could get it up to.
So don't use the team. I'll 10. Just give you the boost, and I'm a big, glowy, purple target for okay. you to replicate.
Yeah, so on a 7 to 9, marking condition or tell the team, or the GM will tell you how it's unstable or
it's,
temporary.
It's not. It's different. This is a separate
right, okay,
it's
so
a
what,
separate
so
move.
What is the 7 to yep. 9?
On a hit, they are fooled, at least for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
On a 10 plus, I choose 3 of these. On a 7 to 9, I choose 2.
Okay.
Cool.
So choose 2.
Just so you'll know, I can get an opportunity, expose a weakness or flaw, confuse them for some time, or avoid further entanglement. So I know you had said one more thing, but I'm going to pick avoid further
okay,
entanglement
cool.
and then probably get an opportunity.
Okay. So
I'm torn between getting an opportunity because
confuse them.
Because if they're going to be running away, I don't know if we need an
so
opportunity.
Here's, I'll tell you what the opportunity would be.
Okay.
Which is that if you choose that option, what they're going to do is one of either the probably not the leader, but this guy that was coded in the Newton's first, they're going to leave him behind. So you'd be able to basically you'd be able to grab him pretty quickly as they start to like flee this vault.
We'd be able to grab.
We'd have
this guy
and a hostage.
You'd be able to take one of them into custody and hand over to the police.
Oh, okay.
And he already doesn't have a helmet on.
Yeah.
So he's like doubly exposed.
Gotcha.
Like they're going to if you don't choose okay. that, they'll stop and make sure they grab all of their guys. But
okay.
if you take that, then they're going to be panicky and it'll be an opportunity for you to grab him. And
yeah. That's fine. So
okay,
we'll do,
cool.
we'll do that
cool,
as
cool,
an opportunity.
Cool.
Yeah.
So what, so tell me about what this looks like then. What like, are you creating are all these different versions of penance?
So they probably are slightly, they're not, it's not smoke and mirrors. It's illusions. They're not tricks. But they are holograms. So even in the dark, they are lit up. You can
cool. So
you
they
know,
glow
you can see
the same way that penance in real
they're,
life does.
They're glowing the same way. But especially with people I know, you know, I can make them
pretty
move,
accurate.
Yeah, and move differently. So it's not like if she, you know, turns one way, they all do that.
Yeah.
So they're all moving slightly individually. So each one is looking at a different major group. So every group is looking up, and
yeah.
one of these copies is staring directly
cool.
at them.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
And can I say in a really menacing sure. voice, you should leave.
You can see that they take a moment and they the groups of them, as they have started to group off, they all like they can you can see them look and nod, and they just like book it out of there as fast as possible. And they do leave behind that one guy who is like can't move too much, and he's
Is leader man knocked out? And they pick
the
him up.
Leaving.
They pick him up and drag
him
out.
No,
yeah.
no, not leader. No, no, no. That's the first guy
oh,
I stole the helmet
oh,
from.
Yeah.
Leader man.
Yes, the guy okay. that was their leader. They grab him and because he's close to the door. So the
yeah.
couple of guys that were near him, they put an arm under each shoulder and they run out. So they're gonna escape, but you guys are safe.
I'm going to go down and is the door broken?
Yeah, it's like
oh, okay.
Totally
the
yeah.
door's broken. So I'm going to land and call into frequency and Sokotoa and just check that they're okay. Are you guys okay?
I'm fine. Claire's fine.
Yeah, all good here.
Did anyone get left behind? Or did they all leave?
Oh, we have no... So let me head back over to that first guy whose helmet I stole. I'm going to have to find him by the goo, but it's still dark in here. Like, I have the helmet, but I'm going to have to go search for this guy. Hang on. So, like, it shows, like, so it shows him going through the crowd and, like, bumping into people. And at this point, Sokotoa is like, you know, excuse me, like, sorry. Like, he's being really polite.
And then you can grab him.
Right. And he finds him and he's like,
okay, you know, cool.
Okay.
Would you guys, so at this point, you guys are not being threatened by anybody. Would you call the police? Would you, like, you have some contacts, like, you could probably call Lunar Lens.
We already called her.
Well, we let her know that we were on the run.
Oh, okay.
We were in a bunker and we were at such and such a location.
So you did not let her know.
We did not let her know necessarily that people were breaking into said vault.
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe it would be a good time to let her know that and to, like, bring some police to, like, round this guy up.
Can you call Lunar Lens and just tell her we're okay and Claire's okay?
Yeah.
You guys were amazing.
Yeah. Thanks for giving us cover. Well, giving me cover. Giving everybody cover. Thanks for being a target.
You got it.
And there is a cool moment where, like, everyone, like, after there's a moment of, like, chaos as these guys run out and where you probably drop down to the ground. But after, like, a chaotic moment of just probably lots of noise, the rest of the people that are in this vault, they all start to realize that, like, oh, all of the people who were with guns just left. After this, like, big flurry of multiple copies of Penance, these kids just saved us. And I mean, they were never really threatening us because they all realized that they, like, these guys wanted the kid, but, like, now there are no longer armed gunmen in this vault with them. So, yeah. And they start to clap, probably.
Oh, thanks, guys. We're just doing our job.
Cool. So I want to cut ahead to there's a moment where Lunar Lens shows up, and in fact the rest of the old guard is going to show up too. Like, okay. the combat up above you guys while all this happened was cleared up. We'll find out later what happened, but, like, obviously if the old guard is here and they're not looking too beat up, but they just were in combat.
Mm-hmm.
They've come here to check on you and make sure that everything is good. And obviously, like, you're there, and, like, the people have started to leave, probably, like, as once they see that the old guard is here, they can tell that, like, oh, like, the battle is done. So, like, and there's probably a light somewhere, like, that turns green, like, even though the door is blown off. Like, normally what would happen would be that once the mayor or whoever signals that it's safe, a red light would turn green and then the door would roll open, but it's gone. The door blew off. So, but some people are going back out and you guys are sticking around. So you'll have a moment when all of these adult heroes show back up to, like, check in and see how everything went, and maybe collect the daughter.
Yeah.
So
can we, like, say goodbye to her?
Yeah. So the Lunar Lens comes in and she's looking around and she's, like, she's kind of doing her, like, school teacher thing. And she's looking around and looking at the door and she's looking at the girl and she turns to you, mostly you two, Sage and Ben. And she says, this was more than we expected. But you seem to have handled this, very gracefully. You definitely, you got Claire to safety and she is here and you are safe and she is safe and you saved all these other people.
Yeah. And we never lost sight of her.
Yes.
She kind of gives you a weird look.
She was great. We were really honored to have the opportunity to hang out with her and we're just glad it ended so well.
So Claire is going to move from where she is standing next to you guys and walk over towards the where the old guard and Lunar Lens are standing. And the robot that is Trip, which is sort of now in one person form, is going to reach out a fist to, like, fist bump her. And she reaches out a fist to fist bump him. And as she is sort of taking steps towards him, she starts to get taller and like her facial features become more adult. And the person who ends up sort of fist bumping Trip at the end is not the 12-year-old girl that you've been hanging out with all day, but in fact, like, an adult woman. And this is Timeline. This is the which you wouldn't know, but I'm going to tell you now as the GM. Timeline is the fourth member of the old guard. Her role is as sort of like a spy and stealth person on the team. And her powers are, which you've now just seen, is that she can kind of age herself to be anywhere in the timeline of her own life.
What?
So Lunar Lens turns to you, seeing that you like look very confused. And she says,
and betrayed.
And a little betrayed. And she says, Mayor Whitman was coming to, she's like, let me explain. Give me a moment.
Please do.
Mayor Whitman was planning a trip to come visit Protean City. And was planning on bringing his daughter. We heard word that an attempt was going to be made on the daughter's life, or to kidnap her. And we thought this would be we knew we needed to replace her with a decoy. And we thought this would be an excellent opportunity to test you and see if you could be responsible enough to work with us in the future, to maybe start to earn back some of the trust that the city initially lost in your team after the incident at the fashion show. We would like you to get back on track to work with the city. And this has, like, you guys successfully, like, we were concerned that you, like, the problem that the city saw with you got with your team was that you were a little bit too hot-headed and that you would rush into battle. And we didn't know that Inspector Insector would attack, but we wanted to see if if someone did attack the girl, would you rush into combat or get her to safety? And you did that. And we were never concerned that, obviously, the timeline was going to be in great danger, because timeline can obviously take care of herself. But
were we in real danger, or was it all fake?
Oh no, you were in real danger.
Oh my god!
I mean, whoever it was that came to try to kidnap the mayor's daughter, that was a legitimate attack. And also, again, we did not expect Inspector Insector and Sorcerock to attack the city today. We were expecting a lower key attack on or attempt to kidnap the daughter. So,
who were the soldiers?
That's what we need to figure out. And Centurion kind of walks over and he puts a hand on the remaining individual that you have sort of gooed up, and he grabs him and starts to lead him toward the door and says, we're going to take this man back to the police station and interrogate him further, and we're going to figure out who was behind this attack.
All I'm going to say, I'm going to turn to Lunar Lens and say, you know, you could have just given us like a paper test.
And that would have proven to me, but I already believed in you. This will go a long way to help other people in the city believe in you too.
So, were we actually in any real danger?
And Lunar Lens is just gonna like take a step towards you and say, "Yes, yes. This was not a performance. This was not a staged event. This was a real threat. We needed to see how you guys would handle yourselves in a real world situation, and you guys did wonderfully."
So what if we failed? Like, was there somebody else that was going to like come out and be like, all right, we'll take over from here?
Our plan had been that the old guard would be around to provide backup. I mean, I was available to help, and the rest of the resources of the city were there. But we did want to see how you did in a real world scenario,
But you lied to us.
And she kind of looks at her hands for a second and says, "Yes, we left out some pieces of information.
Pieces of information that could have gotten us seriously injured, and we had no idea."
Well,
it doesn't
seem
fair.
We told you that there was going to possibly be an attack. We did tell you everything we knew. We just didn't tell you that Claire was capable of taking care of herself.
What would have happened if we had decided to fight and innocent people had gotten hurt in the bunker?
Well, for one, Timeline would have protected them. She would have protected you. And again, we would have mobilized the larger forces of the city to step in and intervene.
This all feels very Falcon-y, and I feel hurt.
So Lunar Lens kind of looks a little bit confused for a second because she doesn't know that you guys, like, she is going to look, so she's going to come back after thinking for a moment and say, well, you have in the past as your team, you've run into combat before and you have taken on that responsibility of yourselves of protecting people in the past. And we didn't feel that this was any different. You were still able to make all the decisions yourself. We just wanted to see what decisions you would make.
You just set us up.
We set you up to succeed and to show that you were a responsible team, worthy of everything you lost when you ran into combat and ruined the operation that was happening at the fashion show.
Well, I hope you're satisfied now that our team can handle almost anything.
I think we are. I mean, I always was. I always believed that you guys were, that you and the rest of your team were always capable of doing this. And I needed to set up a scenario to show to the rest of the town council that you were capable. And I think we've done that.
It was nice meeting you, Timeline.
I just wish it was on, I guess, better circumstances. I can't stand the adults in this city.
If you guys don't have any more questions for Lunar Lens, she is going to turn and leave. And she definitely looks like she has some things to think about. She is a little, she understands how hurt you guys are and she wants to, and she didn't think that you would be. And again, like obviously you guys live with her. So, or at least, Ben and Sage do.
Kalino, it doesn't feel like it's his place to question Lunar Lens too much. He doesn't really know her that well.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's still more kind of silently processing that this is now twice in somewhat like in, over the past, what, like maybe 4 months.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
This has happened. And at this point, he's not surprised so much as like, again.
Yeah. You guys have had some run-ins with adults.
Yeah.
And so there's a moment, there's like a final frame or a final page of this comic where as the old guard is leaving, Timeline hangs back and catches Sage before you guys leave. And she takes off the amulet that she's been wearing around her neck, since she was Claire, and she hands it back to you and just says, "Hey, thanks. I think we didn't get off to a great beginning, but, you guys proved yourselves to be a worthy team, and I'm proud to say that I work for the city and that there are people like you guys coming up to pick up the slack.
We have a really great team and I'm glad you got to see us in action. I hope next time we get to work alongside you and not secretly for you."
And she's going to wink and just kind of say, "Everything I do is a secret."
Yeah. Well, that's your choice, I guess.
And she is going to turn around and the rest of the old guard are going to file out of this bunker.
Protean City Comics is a production of the Stop, Hack, and Roll podcast network. It is produced and edited by James Malloy. This issue was emceed by James Malloy, who can be found on Twitter at @andthemeltdowns. Penance is played by me, Elsbeth Dunman, and I can be found on Twitter at @thecatonthewall. Frequency is played by Rob Harvey, who can be found on Twitter at rharvey1211. Sokotoa is played by Mark Zurich, who can be found on Twitter at @Starkey_. The introduction is voiced by Peter DiGilio. All music was composed by Jim Malloy. Masks, A New Generation is a game by Brendan Conway and published by Magpie Games. This podcast is created thanks to the financial support of backers at patreon.com/stophackandroll. Join us on our Discord at discord.stophackandroll.com. Follow us on Twitter at Protean City and on Instagram at Protean City Comics. Subscribe to Protean City Comics on iTunes or anywhere podcasts are found. Join us next Wednesday to find out what thrilling adventures lie ahead.